This morning, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, and Wendy has taught me a lot through the years, and one of the things that she taught me is that if somebody gets up and speaks before me, and I'm going to have a short sermon, to make sure I tell you that it's going to be a short sermon, so everybody's not going, okay, looks like we're going to be late for supper, you know, we don't want to do that. So, we're going to fly through this passage today. So, let's look at it. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. In those days, there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come a great distance. And his disciples answered him and said, Where will anybody be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. It's kind of an interesting change from the first time. You remember the first time through whenever they were at the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, they said, How are we going to feed all these people? And Jesus said, Well, what do you have? And they said, Well, I don't know. And now, at least whenever they say, how are we going to do this, at least they've said, okay, who's got bread? So they at least know what they've got. And he directed the people to sit down and on the, at least that was interesting to me, you know. I only share what's interesting to me. What's interesting to you? Yeah, okay. So, now I lost my place. Okay, here we go. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking 7 loaves, he gave thanks, and he broke them, and started giving them to his disciples to serve them. And they served them to the people. And they also had a few small fish, and after he blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. And there were about 4,000 there, and he sent them away. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, we did the feeding of the 5,000 just not too long ago, 2 chapters ago, Mark chapter 6. And it's the 2 accounts are so similar that people have speculated that maybe these are actually the same incident, and the disciples who are the people who are putting together the Gospels are not smart enough to realize that these are the same things, and so they're repeating themselves. It happens to me. I mean, maybe it happens to them. But I don't think that that's the way that it is. It's because these guys were a part, the writers and they were a part of this stuff that happened. And so I don't think they're so sloppy as just to, you know, hey, we need to fill more space. Let's repeat ourselves. You know, like when your kids are turning in a report and it's like, oh, it's got to be 1,000 words. So there's like 400 varies. You know, it's very, very. There were really, really, really a lot of people there. So, you know what I'm saying. So, it was interesting to me. No, never mind. Okay. So, but there are a lot of similarities. And if you look at the similarities between these things, large crowd, bread and fish, and the disciples misunderstand what's going on. Jesus blesses it. He passes it out to the whole crowd. Then they pick up the scraps. I mean, that's a lot of similarities for 2 stories to have. But there's also some significant differences. There's the number of people in the crowd is different. The number of fish and bread is different. The number of days that this whole thing takes place over is different. The location is different. The kinds of baskets that they pick things up with are different. So there's a lot of differences as well. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at these differences. And we're going to focus on some of the lessons that come out of those differences. Like, to begin with, the audience is different. And the audience for this particular miracle are Gentiles. The first one, in Mark chapter 6, it's all Israel who are there. And in this one, we're in the Decapolis. We're on the east bank of the Sea of Galilee, and there's 10 Gentile cities there that are called the Decapolis, and then it's populated by Gentiles. And so this audience are Gentiles. The Decapolis is known to be a morally bankrupt kind of place. you know, kind of a Las Vegas kind of place. It was religiously, the people were pagans. They had various gods, but they certainly were not worshipers of Yahweh. And so the audience that Jesus has are primarily Gentiles. Now, there might be some Jewish people mixed in. They're irreligious Jews, but they might be mixed in there, but primarily Gentile. One of the things that we notice about these guys is they're a little bit more attentive than the first audience. In chapter 6, Jesus had been teaching for a day. Here, did you notice how long he'd been there? 3 days these people had been with Jesus. Three days. When they came, they packed the lunch. You know, but this is getting on ridiculous. You know, 3 days. You know, and this crowd does not even know they're hungry. And you know, they're not being negligent here. They've traveled in. They probably provided for food as they came in. They probably had food when they started. But who goes to a meeting and expects to be there 3 days? You know? I'm assuming that all of you brought a lunch. So we're ready to go. But after 3 days, they're getting hungry. Even if you had brought a lunch, I'm sure you didn't bring one for tomorrow or Tuesday, right? So after 3 days, of course, they're hungry. Another difference that we see here is in this attention you see a big contrast between the ones who are supposed to be, who think they're righteous, and the ones who know they're not righteous. Big difference here. You know, it's interesting that these Gentiles, these unbelievers, are the ones who are with Jesus for 3 days. And Israel, the ones who are supposed to have it all together, 1 day. This shouldn't shock us, really. It's a little bit like that today. You know, it's the hopeless who listen most intently to the gospel. It's not the people who've been around it all the time. Because the hopeless are listening to the gospel and they're hearing it for the first time. And they want it. They're hearing life and they want it. You know, sometimes we get so used to the gospel, we get so used to the Word of God that we become complacent. This might surprise you, but you know, there are people, not us, of course, but there are people who would choose to be someplace else on a Sunday morning than to be among God's people in worship. That's shocking, isn't it? I mean, there are people for whom they go, oh, you know, Johnny has a, you know, he has a field trip to go to the paperclip factory, and I volunteered to chaperone, so I'm not going to be there on Sunday. People choose. I mean, rather than worship, we go to the paperclip factory or whatever it is. We would choose to turn away from Yahweh. That's a significant difference. We get tired if the sermon is too long. It's like there's something that clicks in our brain that, you know, you get to a certain, you know, at some point you're counting down. Okay, he's going to be about 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes, 10 more minutes, 10 more. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, he's over. And, you know, we look at our watch and it's all over and your mind wanders from there. And from there, the timer kind of counts up, you know. And it's like that for all of us. That's not making, you know, it's because we are so, we've been around it so much that we just, it's just the way that it functions. But you get somebody in here who has no hope, and you start talking to them about hope, they'll listen to the very end. When you start talking about forgiveness for sinners, they're ready. When you start talking about life for the dead and salvation for the lost, it's water to those who are thirsty. And they'll listen. You know, and for that reason, I mean, I think that's what's going on here. You got 3 days. I mean, I would rather preach to a brand new Christian than somebody who's been a Christian all of their life and thinks they know it all. I'd rather preach to a rank pagan than I would somebody who's a nominal Christian, who's been a nominal Christian all of their lives. You see, Jesus teaches for 3 days, and they're still with him. 3 days. These are people who are getting hope for the first time, and he was their only hope. He was the provision, God's provision for the Gentiles. He didn't discriminate on the basis of this Jew-Gentile distinction. You see, for millennia, the Jews and the Gentiles had not gotten along. They didn't go places together, and the Gentiles or the Jews hated the Gentiles, and there's this huge divide there. And Jesus came to bring them together, that there would be neither Jew nor Greek. Jesus first came to the house of Israel, but his mission was ultimately to the entire lost house of Israel, to all who were lost, to all who would follow. And Jesus had for 3 days provided spiritually for these Gentiles. He had taught them for 3 days. And now he wants to demonstrate God's even-handedness, and he wants to provide for them physically. It's not tangible enough, apparently, for him just to teach them. He wants to feed them. It's his idea. You know, in the first time he fed the 5,000, it was the disciples' idea. This time it's his idea. He looks out on the people, he says, we need to feed these folks. So the disciples weren't sure what he was going to do, and I guess they didn't think, hey, he's going to do that whole miracle thing again, you know, feed the whole 5,000 thing again. They just didn't expect a rerun that quickly, but figured they'd wait till next season. Anyways, but Jesus knew. And so just as God had provided for the Jews, you know, you think about this. In the wilderness, whenever God calls Israel out of Egypt and they come out of Egypt and they're wandering in the desert and God provides, they're hungry and God provides for them manna, Israel always looks back on that and says, see, God loves us. So you come to the New Testament and Jesus is out in the wilderness and there's 5,000 Israelites around. They're not going to miss whenever again God provides manna in the wilderness. And now 4,000 Gentiles are around Jesus. They're standing in the wilderness. And what does God do? Again, manna, bread from heaven. Incredible. God loves them as well. Jesus is God's provision of salvation for all men, all women. God cares about them. The walls are coming down. Which actually makes us understand there's a huge similarity here that we cannot miss. All the differences are substantial, but the similarity can't be missed either. And that is that the results are the same. Whether you're talking about the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, the results are the same. That the people were fed, thousands of people fed by Jesus. Their tummies are full. They came hungry, they left full. They were taught by the Word of God. Their souls came hungry and they left full. All by the hand of God. And each time there's food left over. The first time, all of the disciples go out and they gather up the broken pieces and they end up with more than they started with. And the first time at the feeding of the 5,000, you remember they picked up 12 little lunchbox-sized baskets. Little superheroes on them and cartoon Smurf ones and movies. And they picked up 12 little lunch boxes full of bread. And this time, you know, and you think, oh, 12 tribes of Israel. Cool. God is providing for them. And that's really what it was. But now they pick up 7 huge baskets of bread that God intends to feed the entire world. Huge baskets, baskets big enough you could put people in. There's no superheroes on these baskets. So don't forget the incident that just precedes this. This woman, remember the woman comes to Jesus' table and she's a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman, and Jesus says, no, the bread, we're not going to feed the children's bread to the dogs? And she says, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from beneath the table. There's a lot of crumbs here. There's a lot of crumbs here. Apparently, Jesus is sufficient even to fill the bellies of all of these people and leave huge reserves. Even these people need a Savior. God draws all of these people to Himself. People from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. You know, that's kind of why we send out missionaries. Because we realize that God is really not a God of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant world. You know, black and white and red and brown, He created them, so He calls them. From every social group, He calls them. The social elite with their bridge parties and stock options and fancy clothes and luxury cars. He created them. And He calls them. And social outcasts, the ones who are sick and poor, with dirty clothes and uncut hair, the strange ones, He created them. And He calls them. Every economic class, He calls the jobs and the gates and the Soros. He calls the regular Joes. He calls the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. He calls them. He created them, and He calls them. Regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our social status, regardless of our economic situation, He calls us. From every religious background, He calls us. He calls the Jews and the pagans and the Muslims. He is no respecter of persons. If God created them, He calls them. He calls every sinner to come to Himself. No one's gone too far. No darkness is too dark. No sin is too horrible. No person is unsavable. God is in the redemption business. And that's the message of the feeding of the 4,000. He can provide for us. Every sinner bought with the blood of Jesus. Nothing will stand between God and claiming His own. The crowds might look different. This crowd looks Jewish. This crowd looks Gentile. This crowd looks white. This one looks black. This one looks green. Whatever. The crowds may look different, but the needs are the same. And the needs are our needs. That we are hungry and Jesus has come to feed us. And He gives us the bread of life. Let's stand.